Welcome into the Midday Show on a Monday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios. It is Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker. Andy out there doing some really nice stuff in Western North Carolina, and we'll tell you how you can help Andy out in just a moment. But I'm here with Randy McMichael. Randy, how you doing?
Well, what's happening, man? What's going on, Mr. Abe Gordon? Yeah, it's a my man is up there doing some good stuff. Like you said, you got all the info if you want to keep donating. I know he sent out, I think it was yesterday, the new number, and I swear it's just amazing how people, you know, they're giving heart to a community that really needs his help. So I'm just happy for him and his wife up there. Happy birthday to Ashley. It's her birthday today. And so they're up there doing some good stuff. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's crazy weekend. Obviously, we know, you know, the top 10 was shook up. The top 10 was shook up. A lot of goalposts being carried in different cities and everything like that.
I have some thoughts about the goalpost thing.
It's crazy because, like, watching the one, and we'll talk about right now, the one in Nashville or Vanderbilt, like, Vanderbilt's campus is not really close to Broadway. And so them taking that down, I mean, it was a great scene and everything. But, yeah, a whole lot of upsets this weekend in college. And hopefully, you know, some great football games yesterday. That one, I tried to stay up for the Dallas game, but
Once I saw that delay time,
yeah, I was like, all right.
I saw a tweet at one point that said lightning just struck 30 more minutes. Right. I'm like, not for me, man.
Yeah, but
I'll read about this tomorrow morning.
Gonna have to, man, because I was like, I couldn't even make it to halftime of that game. But did get a chance to see some of the highlights of that scene. Like, it was a great game, but yeah, a lot of upsets. Still, my thought process on the on this whole college thing is, you know, everything is still so wide open.
I don't think there's
a dominant team that, you know, just head and shoulders above anybody. And sometimes you have them stinkers. It's just crazy where you had the stinker at some of these teams.
Well, we'll get into that in just a moment. Like I said, Andy Bunker is out today. He's also going to be out tomorrow while they continue volunteering. And if you want to help him and help 92.9 The Game, we are teaming up with Support Now for the Helene Assist to help those impacted by Hurricane Helene. You can help support the Haywood Schools Foundation by donating today. Head over to 92.9thegame.com and give what you can. And I know last I saw it was nearing. It may even be over $5,000 now.
Over.
We're halfway to the goal, but certainly want to reach that goal. And anything beyond that goal would be lovely as well. So let's get into it, Randy, with college football on Saturday. And I guess we'll start here, right? Like, I know there's no Falcons game. Normally on a Monday, Falcons would be the lead story, right? And we go from there, and Georgia would follow suit in some manner after that. And depending on the game, maybe Georgia's a bigger story and all that. And obviously with no Falcons game, I sat there with the rundown, and I just put a question mark. Like, where's this weekend get ahead? I had actually typed in lead NFL story. But what happened Saturday had to take precedent over what was going to happen on Sunday. This was a Saturday, the likes of which we have not seen, and I found it funny. It was also during the baseball postseason. The last time we saw carnage like this in the top 11 was when Pedro Martinez tackled Don Zimmer.
Damn.
It was 2003, the last time you had five or more teams in the top 11 go down. I mean, that's 20 years of Saturdays where the rankings haven't been hit like this since. It was absolute carnage, and I can't think of how many different teams from Saturday are like, thank goodness it's a 12-team playoff, because a lot of bids could have been lost, depending on how the rest of the season plays out. It's still alive, but it was interesting because you had a relatively calm noon slate. We had the big blowout early, Missouri and Texas A&M.
That wasn't even close, man. Missouri, so, I mean, Texas A&M came out and kicked them in the face.
Two things happened for Missouri that really put them out. Their first drive, they go for it on fourth down. There's a very clear pass interference that gets overturned.
Right.
Couple drives later, they hit Luther Burden for a 75 or whatever yard touchdown, and they called illegal receiver downfield.
Which it was.
Which, by the way, we'll circle back to that in the Miami game in a moment.
Which it was.
It was. It did not affect the play, but it was the right call. Did you see Luther Burden after that play and Brady
Cook?
Yes, he was
very disgusted.
They were disconnected from the game from that moment on, and they never recovered emotionally from that. It was 10-0 at that point.
I just thought that if you want to talk about mindset, I thought A&M had the perfect mindset for that game. They are definitely trying to, and he's a, I think he's a, he's a, their head coach, he's trying to mold them into him. you know, tough, gritty, get after you for 60 minutes. And I understand the play for Burton, but I still don't think that if they do hit this play, and again, it's a momentum
I don't think it was going to be a blowout.
It wasn't going to be a blowout, yeah. But I still think A&M was going to win that football
game. Yeah, they were rocking. Well.
I know the quarterback, he was a game-time decision, came in and played really, really good. They were able to run the damn football.
He was 18-22.
They were able to run the football, and I think that was going to be the key to the game. But, yeah, Coach Elko, I mean, they're 5-1 or 4-1, whatever they are in one. And, I mean, they're playing some good ball. They really are.
10 spots in the rankings. I mean, they're at 15 now.
You think about it. I mean, that was an impressive win, and I know everything is kind of shaky with Missouri. Coming into the game, like not really knowing, had to go to double overtime or overtime with Vandy.
Right.
And had to come back against Boston College and all these games. But, I mean, that was a good, solid win for A&M over a good team like Missouri, who I still think, and as we talked last week, they're missing that engine that they had last year, that dynamic runner. He's not there.
Noel, who ran for $1.99 the week before, got like 50 yards this time.
But yet they're still in the mix, just like you said, with this 12-team playoff. They're still there, just like a lot of these other teams that had the one loss. But, I mean, my son Samson was like, oh, Alabama's about to lose to Vanderbilt. I said, Alabama's not about to lose no damn Vanderbilt. Just relax.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I think Arkansas is going to beat Tennessee. I said, just relax. Tennessee's going to come back. I mean, he was spot on with all his picks yesterday, Abe. But, I mean, that one in Nashville, I didn't see it coming.
Okay, so let's talk
coming.
About this.
I didn't see that
because
coming.
I want to put this into a couple of terms because – it's tough to play both sides of the conversation that I'm about to have, but I think I have to play both sides of this. This is a game that was a 22.5 point spread, okay? Auburn, Georgia was a 21.5 point spread.
Right.
So, on one hand, I say this is far from the biggest upset in SEC history. Let's keep some perspective. On the other hand, we know what the Vanderbilt program has been, perennial cellar dwellers.
Correct.
With a coach that potentially could have been fired, not anymore.
Well, no,
and we know what the Alabama program has been, the standard bearer, right? You got the standard bearer of the best conference in college football and the cellar dweller. But this is not the same Vanderbilt team.
No.
They took out Virginia Tech. Yes. I know they lost to Georgia State. They pushed Missouri to the brink.
They did.
And now they're at home and handle Alabama. It's a monumental win. I'm not trying to say it's not.
Then what are you about to say then, Abe?
I'm saying it's not the biggest upset in SEC history.
Oh, that's all. I mean, I can't think far back. What's bigger? It's a big-ass upset. And it's probably one of the biggest wins, if not the biggest win in that program history in the last 20 years.
Agreed.
I mean, they went out there, and I'll talk – they held the ball for 42.5
minutes.
Here's
the thing.
And they still – and Alabama was – I mean, they got Alabama on their heels. And, I mean, even though they did battle back and everything like that, and that damn freshman, that damn – like. You catch a ball like that on the sideline, get hit, and land on your feet, and then run. I mean, this dude is special.
I don't understand his center of gravity.
This dude is special, man. He's a special player, man. And we talked, I mean, him and the boy from Ohio State, Smith, them dudes, they on a different level of receiver to be as young as they are. But, I mean, I think, and we talked about that quarterback. And we talked about, you know, this dude, the dual threat guy. I knew that they were going to have some issues probably with the option and everything like that. But, I mean, they just made every single play when they need to make the play.
Here's the thing about this Vandy game, though. They didn't win this game with a bunch of fluke plays Mm-mm. and lucky bounces. Mm-mm. They took it to Alabama.
Yes.
A lot of times you see these big upsets and you're like, oh, the ball bounced off of someone's shoulder and into the air and maybe that was an interception or what. There was nothing weird about it. Yeah. They took it straight to Alabama. They eventually tear down the goalposts. It took 56 minutes from the goalposts. To reach the field to the river. It's almost a mile, which means they're hoofing it with this thing. Because 56 minutes is that's a decent walking pace. Here's the thing I ask, because it's all coordinated, right?
Yes.
Like, this one was totally coordinated, because they had essentially a police escort to the river. Someone has to open up the exit from the stadium, because they didn't take it up to the stands and get it out that way. Someone was like, here's our loading dock and tunnel, come this way with the goalpost.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the funny thing, because a lot of times these type of teams don't get get the pull-down goalposts like that.
Do they
man.
Even have the tearaways?
I don't think so, man. I don't know. I know you remember they did all that new renovation and everything at that stadium up there, but I thought it was crazy. And you think about, you know, that win, and I thought I saw the sign up there, biggest upset, don't whatever it said, you know, while they were there. I hate to say they didn't believe. The players thought they could believe. You always got to believe that you have an opportunity.
Yeah, but then reality hits more often than not. Yeah.
Exactly. And I thought that they just played, like you said, it wasn't no fluky type things. I mean, the fourth down play, that throw and catch was just unreal. It was just unreal. The big, you know what, on the coach and the quarterback to throw in a hell of a catch by the receiver. But yeah, sometimes when you're in this situation.
And they crushed Milroe too on that fumble.
They hit him. They put their pads on him. And that's the biggest thing about Miro. They put their pads on them. They got the ball out. And then for them to be able to run the clock out against Alabama.
Yeah.
That was the biggest. I know a lot of people are having fun with the kid who threw his mouthpiece and had a tantrum and everything like that. He's mad. I'd be mad. We lost to damn Vanderbilt. We just came off the biggest win of the year. And then we go to damn Vanderbilt and get mollywopped. Even though I know the score doesn't dictate mollywop. But the more physical football team in that game was Vanderbilt.
If you had taken off the jerseys and the name patches and you had watched that game and you would have told me that Alabama was the team that won 40-35, we'd sit here and say the game wasn't as close as the score indicated.
Right. Oh, I agree with that. But, I mean, Alabama, they can't run the football, which is strange to me for some reason. And they put everything on Milroe. But, I mean, I give credit. And I know a lot of people say, well, Nick Saban wouldn't have lost that game. Probably, but at the same time, they did. Alabama lost the game, and now they're in a situation where they had, I don't know, what they dropped, what, a 7?
They dropped all the way behind Georgia to 10, I think.
Really? Which is weird to me that they dropped that below Georgia.
I'm sorry, they are 7. Okay. My apologies. They are 7, but they're below Georgia, who's still 5.
Okay, well, I mean, but the thing about it is everything is still right there for them, man. I think they're still one of the front runners for the national championship. They had a hiccup. Arkansas, great game plan. And if there isn't, and the one thing I love, because you know how I feel about me some Sam Pittman, and a lot of people feel about Sam Pittman. You love to see good stuff happen to that guy, and you saw a lot of stuff going on as far as people being happy for him,
for sure,
and excited for him, and that was a big win, man. Nico, either you throw a pick or whatever, but you can't run out of bounds. You got to throw the ball.
That was I talked to some people who were like, yeah, the freshman game in his hands. I'm like, that was the one time it felt like a freshman moment.
You cannot run out of bounds. If there's an interception, let it be an interception.
Float it out there. Who cares?
But you got to put the ball in the end zone.
All right, this hour of the Midday Show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. When we come back, we're going to stick in the world of college football for a little bit, talk about what happened in the Deep South's oldest rivalry, Georgia beating Auburn. But it wasn't always comfortable, at least not in that first half. We got that and more on the other side. It's the Midday Show. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think Vandy's got a great program and does a great job. I mean, it's a lot of other people that don't respect Vandy. I respect Clark Lee. I respect his team, his quarterback, what they've done. They beat Virginia Tech. I mean, somebody told me that 6 of 8 games were decided by one score or less in our league. Nothing shocks me about our league.
That was Kirby Smart, who was still he was still wrapping up post-game duties for Georgia after the Auburn win, and yeah, everyone there was paying attention to what was going on in Nashville. And so eventually the game ended and he was still at the podium and was asked about it. And Clark Lee's kind of got a little bit of that Sam Pittman thing, too. Not a lot of people have negative things to say, negative experiences.
He's an alum and everything. He came over from Notre Dame.
You can't fire him ever now.
Yeah,
he's got that lifetime contract.
That was a big win. Real quick, Abe says they got fined. SEC fines Arkansas $250,000.
Yeah.
And then Vanderbilt $100,000.
I think it's a first time versus multiple time offenders.
Spend some of that money.
Well, you saw now Vanderbilt has fished the goalposts out of the river.
Yes.
They're expected to chop it up and sell it to help cover the costs. They say of these fines.
Okay, this school the floor of the SEC, right?
They're normal cellar dwellers.
Do they get an equal share of the revenue?
Yeah,
like Georgia.
Yeah,
yeah, they're fine. They're being cheap ass.
I mean, they might get they maybe don't get the same bowl revenue because depending on how it's split.
Okay, they got $100,000. Don't try to sell that for whatever.
What's the price point? Now it's tough because Georgia doesn't have a lot of wins that come unexpectedly, I guess.
Right.
But what is like the price point for a fan, for an alum, to buy part of the goalposts?
I mean, if you're talking about, like, if I'm a Vanderbilt alum, I would buy
it. $100, I'd consider it.
I would definitely buy a piece of that. But for how much?
Like, if they're charging $500 a chunk?
They're not going to charge that. They're not going to charge that. It's probably maybe $100.
$100, I would do it.
I would buy it. Why not?
$100, I would do it without thinking. It's also a great gift, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big-time monumental win for that program. And like you said, their coach, he's been trying to build something there. And he's been trying to stay hired. But, I mean, like, I always look at it like, if you're Vanderbilt, you're going to do better? I always look at it like that. I mean, you're going to do – this dude, he wants to be there, obviously, and he's trying to build some things there. You said early he had a really great win early against Virginia Tech, who, you know, we saw last week Tech go toe-to-toe with Miami. You know, had to have a special play by Cam Ward in order for them to win that football game, just like they did.
And a little bit of help from the officials. Yeah.
It's like they did the other night.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I would buy a piece of it if it was on me. Like I said, I've been – and I want to say, unless it was another time, I was there at Georgia the last time the goalpost came down when we beat Tennessee. And I don't know if it's ever come down again since then. But, yeah, I mean, it's a crazy atmosphere watching them storm the field and tear down the goalposts. It was carrying it downtown Athens and everything. But, I mean, that's just – I mean, they'll never – those players will never forget that.
Man. No.
That was like – that is so super big time for them at Vanderbilt to beat the standard in college football in Alabama. It's a big win.
That's pretty special. Georgia beat Auburn 31-13. Two passing touchdowns for Carson Beck, two rushing touchdowns for Trevor Etienne. We're going to talk a little bit more about this game in our next segment, but did you want a quick thought on that
I thought, you know, a win's a win. I thought that Georgia, and it was like, you know, like I remember myself getting ready to watch a game, and my energy was low.
And then, yeah, so were the fans.
I don't know why.
The players,
and everything like that. But as we got closer to 3:30, I was fine. But like waking up,
is that because there was a little more?
Usually when I wake up, I'm ready to roll for a Georgia game and everything like that. And you know, my son Isaiah, him and his buddies, they went up there because it was homecoming up there. And so he, instead of driving back to school, he wanted to spend the night at the house. And me and him were talking yesterday morning when they got up. And he was just like, "Dad, it was just so dead in there for some reason." I was like, "I mean, probably people still pissed off about what happened the previous weekend." But I mean, it is Auburn; it is a big time rivalry, and you know, it was plotty and methodical. But Georgia found a way. Well, not found a way. Georgia won the football game.
Yeah.
Georgia was not in threatening of losing the football game, and that's the most important.
It was 7-3 for a while. You're like, "What's going on here?" Again, like, we'll talk more about that because Kirby had some thoughts on the fan base as well. Georgia Tech knocks Duke from the ranks of unbeaten, 24-14. Two touchdowns for Haynes King. Jamal Haynes runs for $128. Georgia Tech had to fight in this one. They were down 14-10 entering the fourth quarter, but that's just a frisky team, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, when they get their run game going the way it does,
yeah.
I mean, they're a team that is, you know, especially if Haynes King does not turn the ball over, they are a tough out because they're going, you know what they're going to do. They're going to come, and they're trying to short your neck. The defense got stops when they do. That's probably the unit that still needs the most work.
Their passing defense is how you beat Georgia Tech.
But again, Duke, I don't know how undefeated they were, but they were undefeated, meaning, you know, where are they at? You know, they were undefeated. It was a big win for Georgia Tech Saturday night here in Atlanta. And I'll leave it at that. But, I mean, the thing with Tech is that, you know, the expectation that I won't take anything away from that first game because that was a magical thing. But now you're seeing how bad Florida State is, you know,
right.
And how horrible they are and everything like that. Syracuse, Syracuse is probably on the same level as Tech, probably. Maybe a little bit better, but I know they.
Syracuse is explosive enough that in the right game they can keep up with better teams.
Exactly,
because I think their pass game is so electric.
I don't think Tech could do that.
I agree.
I don't think Tech could do that.
Tech is good in the mid 20s.
Yes.
Maybe even into the low 30s at times. Syracuse, and we saw it Friday night against UNLV. Syracuse will pop you in the 40s.
Go, boy. They can go on offense.
McCord's tossing it out there, and they've got some good receivers as well. Can we speak about Saturday night in Atlanta just for a quick moment? You mentioned Georgia Tech there. I'll mention Atlanta United in just a second. WWE had Bad Blood, the pay-per-view at State Farm Arena.
Oh, really? Oh, I bet it was a blank show.
But also, there's a huge convention called DreamHack.
What's that?
It's like a gaming, streaming, tech convention.
Okay.
And it was at the Congress Center here. So I park for the United game, and I start walking up. I'd forgotten DreamHack was here. Start seeing, you know, costumes and people walking around with selfie sticks recording themselves.
Well, I mean,
I almost saw a guy just walk straight into traffic his recording. All right, man.
Welcome. I hope you guys enjoyed the time here in Atlanta. It's always crazy how like all these scheduling conflicts, and you got wrestling, and you got this convention, you got Tech at home.
Very few cities in this country handle it like this.
United and everything like that. So I know, I'm assuming that it was crazy as hell down there as far as like getting in and out, traffic and everything like that. But what's it called again?
The DreamHack?
The DreamHack.
They had a big COD tournament.
A who?
Call of Duty, COD.
Damn, man, it's going to be a long 2 days. We're talking about some damn COD.
Would you rather me talk about what happened at Bad Blood?
I thought you were talking about fishing or something.
We can talk about fishing if you want.
Yeah, I'm talking about some damn cod.
The important thing from Saturday night, though, is as much as I'm sure the main event at Bad Blood was important, Atlanta United stays alive in their playoff chase. They beat Red Bulls. I wrote down 2-0. I didn't realize Red Bulls had scored. Mm-hmm. It was actually 2-1. I was watching a football game on my phone at the later stages of this match, and they actually did score, but that's all right. Atlanta United, and they'll have this weekend off. They'll play on October 19th. They need a win, and they need two of three results to happen. Montreal needs to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto is out. I need to have it in front of me. DC needs to lose.
Okay.
And then Philly needs to either lose or draw. You need to win. So there's a path. There's four teams fighting for two spots. There is a path for Atlanta United to make the playoffs. And if the right combination of those things, they actually could host the playoff game the play-in round. So Atlanta United is still alive. They're going to be traveling to Orlando City in a couple of weeks. But nice to see them.
Why is the break so long?
So there's an international break this week. Okay, so that's why. And then, look. We're not going to talk a lot about it this show, or tomorrow for that matter. Just very quick mentions. And you might make fun of me for saying it this way. The MLB postseason's lit.
Oh, my God.
It's lit, bro.
I take it for it. I don't watch it. I watch the highlights, and from the highlights that you watch, it seems like it's these are some fun series. We really don't give a damn about them.
No, I get that. I mean, I get that.
You know what? I'll say that.
You might start watching for a fight, though.
I don't care about the other one up there in Philadelphia.
That's been a great series, though.
But the one in California, because of the bad blood between these two teams, and you saw it yesterday. I've always been a big fan of Tatis, always since he's been in the league.
Yeah.
And everything. I know he had knucklehead, got some issues, motorcycle and all that other crap. But the dude's a hell of a ball player. And when he hits that damn home run, that first one.
He cracked it immediately.
And he just stands there and admires it. You're like, okay, somebody's going to get him. Somebody's going to hit him. Flaherty, and then you see him and Machado going at it. And me, you were just talking before there. I think Machado might got hands.
He looks like a guy that knows how to fight.
I think Manny might got some hands. So
there's also the confidence of he was voicing or vocalizing to Jack Flaherty, the pitcher for the Dodgers, like, we can go outside.
Yeah.
There's a confidence of guy that's like okay with taking it outside that scares me.
How many times does that happen? We going to
take it outside. No, it's never going to happen. I get that. But there's like a confidence of – if you want to go outside, we'll go outside.
Right.
But buy you a drink and we can squash this.
That's not going to happen. No, you know, like, and there was never going to be a fight and anything like that. But they beat the hell out of the Dodgers yesterday.
Did you see Shohei the day before?
Yes, he was absolutely bonkers.
Did you see him just flick that thing back to the dugout?
And it seems like that rivalry is coming on to him because, you know, he's reserved and all of those. He has fun. But, I mean, this is, you know, we talked about, you know, teams that just genuinely don't like each other. Yeah, these dudes do not like each other.
No. And it's turned up recently because traditionally it's been Giants and Dodgers.
Right.
Right now, because of where both of these teams are, And this being the divisional round matchup, it's been a good series. Obviously, the Padres blew them out last night. You got the Yankees holding a 1-0 lead. You got Cleveland holding a 1-0 lead. Those games will play today. The Mets are going wild. They almost won that game yesterday and took a 2-0 lead, but Philly battled back. It's been a fun series in that one. So, I don't know.
Okay, we mentioned it.
Just something about it.
We mentioned it. We know you and your four TVs just on one of them.
It was on TV 3 yesterday.
Yes, yeah,
I will say this, because I know the NBA is about to start up. The Hawks have their first preseason game tomorrow, and hockey's been playing preseason or exhibition games, whatever you want to call them. And I know we're just talking about potential fights in Major League Baseball. These guys in the preseason in hockey are just throwing hands.
Yes.
Like, in an exhibition game. It's like, calm down, man, a little bit.
If I was a hockey player, I would want to be the enforcer, dude. That's what I would want to do.
Okay, but like in a preseason game, you're taking blows?
I mean, you never know if you're going to get your hands, if you're going to be able to get a hold of this dude again. So, hey, maybe you sit there, I don't like this guy.
I might not
play him again until December. You know what? Let me go over here and swing on him and let me put him into this glass. And that could be it. I mean, I will always believe bad blood in hockey. I understand this whole baseball thing with the Padres and the Dodgers. Ain't nobody scrapping. Now, the fans throwing the baseballs on the field at the players.
That's lame
as hell right there.
We can't really throw stones here as Braves fans. We've made a mess of the field before,
and
too.
And I don't like that. And I said about that. I don't like that. I don't like you throwing stuff at somebody while they're at their place of work, because you wouldn't want me to come in there throwing stuff at your place of work.
No, definitely not. All right, Deep South's oldest rivalry, Georgia handles Auburn. But I'm left with a couple questions, Randy, maybe you can answer on that front. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. A lot more college football to get to. We're going to focus on Georgia, but I think we need to talk a little bit about what happened in Miami-Cal and also at USC-Minnesota. If not next segment, we'll get to it later in the show. A lot still to come on the Midday Show. Abe Gordon here filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Midday Show. Abe Gordon here, hanging out with Randy McMichael, filling in for Andy Bunker out there doing some good work with his wife. Happy birthday, as you mentioned, to Ashley. He is not here right now, but where he is going to be on Sunday is at Wicked Wolf. You can join 92.9 The Game and Bud Light for a Falcons watch party. This game against the Panthers, Sunday, October 13th, 4 p.m., Wicked Wolf in Midtown. You can watch the game with Bunk. Freddie Falcon's going to be there, the cheer team. Plus, you can meet Falcons legend Brian Scott. You have an opportunity to win Falcons tickets or an autographed Falcons item. Enjoy specials on Bud Light. You must be 21 and over. As always, drink responsibly.
I know we're going to, we were just talking in the break, and I know we're about to get to this Georgia game, but I was thinking about this weekend's game and the Oregon and Ohio State game.
Yeah.
That's our early thoughts. Like, who will we learn more about?
Oregon.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. Because you have more doubts about Oregon right now.
Mm-hmm.
They'll prove, unless Ohio State just gets obliterated somehow, mm-hmm. we're not really, even in a loss, what do we really learn? We learn more that Oregon is a contender, not that Ohio State's not.
Okay.
But there's also an opportunity for us to learn that early season Oregon that struggled to put Boise State away, needed help in that one, that was kind of slow offensively against who was it? Was it? Yeah, I don't remember.
It's everybody.
There were some other games.
There were some other games. But I'm just checking because you got the Red River Shootout this weekend. Obviously, that's always has a lot of.
I think you'll learn about Penn State, too.
And I mean,
they're at USC. And I know USC just lost their ranking, and I do want to talk about that game, too. Yeah. But I think you'll learn about Penn State a little bit. But you won't really know about Penn State until they deal with Oregon or Ohio State, I guess Michigan. I don't know.
It's always checking because, I mean, Penn State, they'll get off to these good starts, but they can't win the big game.
Yeah,
when
they play a real squad, they struggle.
I'm not saying – I don't by any stretch of imagination think that the USC is, like, a contender anymore. Like, their season – I don't want to say their season's over, but college ball playoffs are out of the picture for USC right now.
Look, is there some way that they blindly sneak in? Sure. You got 12 teams. They're not contending.
No.
Let's talk about them real quick. Just USC, because there were a couple games I wanted to talk about, and this is one of them. USC at Minnesota. Minnesota wins 24-17, and that's fine. The real story of this game is what happened late with Minnesota's coach, P.J. Fleck. They're at the 4-yard line, and first down, don't get in. Second down, don't get in. This is when the game's tied 17-17. Third down, don't get in. They're at the 1 now. Fourth and goal from the 1 in a tie game with less than 2 minutes left. Instead of kicking a field goal and taking a lead over USC.
What does he do?
At 4th and 1, they run a play to try and get in.
Mm-hmm.
On the field, it's called short. Replay tells you it got in, I guess. It's close, but it's in. But to me, I just don't understand. I know the benefits, obviously. You can't lose at that point. They can only tie you and send it to overtime. If you kick the field goal, in theory, they could score a touchdown and you lose the game. But, like, I don't know if the risk of that outweighs the risk of potentially not scoring.
Well, I mean, what do we talk about? All college. I mean, all coaching. Everybody
take the
there.
Points.
Everybody
the point thing.
Take the points. Take the points right there. But, I mean, hey, his team bailed his ass out. That's the biggest
thing. Yeah, they did.
They bailed his ass out.
And the replay official bailed him out because on the field they called him short.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's why they go to the replay and everything like sure. that. But, I mean, yeah, that was the whole thing with P.J. Fleck and rowing the boat up there in Minnesota was that, you know, it's a big win for him. I know it's not the SCO, but it's still SC. And it has some, you know, that program, that name has something to it. So, yeah, big program. It is always still, I'm still getting accustomed to saying USC is in the Big Ten. So they drop a Big Ten conference game in that situation. But, yeah, his team bailed him out for him doing something stupid.
The other one I want to talk about before we get to Georgia, Miami and Cal. Miami wins 39-38. There's a late targeting call that somehow is not enforced.
Wasn't targeting.
I thought it was.
Wasn't targeting.
You don't think that was targeting?
No, he just knocked the hell out of him.
Yeah, helmet to helmet.
It was shoulder pad to helmet.
That was helmet.
That was shoulder pad. It was shoulder
okay,
pad to
so helmet. Okay, so I guess they don't call that
it
one.
It was shoulder pad to helmet.
Agree to disagree on that one. If they do enforce that, Cal runs the ball out and clock out.
Yeah.
Miami never sees the ball. Miami gets the ball back. And they get down to the goal line. Cam Ward's doing his thing, or he's rocking and rolling. The game-winning touchdown pass is very clearly an ineligible receiver downfield. And it's they probably still score anyways the way they were cooking on that final drive.
Cam Ward is so – I mean, he had a bad play. You never throw across your body, you know, going out of bounds. I mean, that's just something he knows better than and everything like that. And, you know, the Cal's coaching staff is familiar with him from his days at Washington State. But I thought he was outstanding down the stretch, man. I thought he made all the plays that he needed to. That was a big win for Miami. Now, I woke up Saturday morning and watching game day at Cal. That place was great. They did a great
Calgarism
job.
Delivered.
They did a great job. I saw the kid kick the field goal to win the money, which was great. But I thought the atmosphere was great watching Marshawn. The fact that Marshawn
That
Marshawn didn't curse one time, really. I know he put Herbie in the headlock or whatever, but for him not to cuss one time was weird, you know. As much as Nick Saban and Pat was up there cursing, but Marshawn didn't slide in the cuss word. I thought that was great. But I thought Miami. I mean, that's just another down to the wire in an unfamiliar place. Last time Miami did out the damn Cal Berkeley, and it's damn near after midnight, and they're still playing the way they did. The funniest thing was Michael Irvin on the sideline. He
fours.
On all fours.
What you doing, man?
Like, get your ass
Hall
up.
Hall of Famer.
Get your ass up, play. It's okay. But, yeah, I can't take nothing away from him. Yeah, I don't think it was a targeting because they call it all the damn time. So what did they see in this one that they don't see in every other one that they call? So that's how I viewed it. But I thought it was shoulder pad. Then it went to the helmet. But,
okay.
It's like a big hit.
And I still miss the receiver downfield. Either way, they get the win. I want to talk about Georgia, and I want to work backwards on this one. I don't want to talk about the game just yet. I want to talk about some of the comments Kirby had. You kind of mentioned it yourself. You were took me a little time to get amped up for this game. You got there eventually. It sounds like those in attendance maybe didn't. Kirby Smart had this to say postgame.
Humility is a week away in our league at all times. And that's the consistency I want to have. We're not going to win all our games all the time. That's not going to happen. You know, I want our fan base to appreciate what we have and give their all and be unbelievable with crowd noise and make energy and just make home games, because we need it to be tough on other teams to play here. But it's not. It's not the same as it's been in the past. It's got to be energetic. It's got to be hard. You know what? It was hot today. It was hot today. It was hot on our players too. And our players pushed through it. So I'm really proud of this team because I thought it was a tough week, and we answered the bell.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, when you go to games in Athens, and I know a lot of people, I saw my boy Big George, he's like, yeah, coach, that heat, that humidity got a lot of folks. It kind of beat them down and everything like that. I just don't think, you know, and I mean, you know me, Abe, I don't ever apologize for winning. You know, you got one more points than the other team. That's a great thing. But it wasn't flashy. It was a boring-ass game. I know they won and everything like that, and I was happy that they won, But I think that, and like I said earlier, my position was, you know, I knew they played at 3:30. I wasn't where I'm always in when I wake up. But as you said, as the day went along and it got around like 1 o'clock, I was like, let's go Georgia and everything like that. And then it got to a game. I was ready to roll for it and everything. And I just thought, you know, Georgia, they're still missing some things. And you want to talk about the lack of explosiveness on offense.
Yeah, we are.
Defensively, they don't.
We are.
Defensively, they – and I know there were better players. Defensively, up front – and Kirby said, we don't strike people like we used to.
Right.
You had to get doggone, just do everything you could to get outside of Georgia's defense.
They might get you here and there, but there's no fear.
Every now and then, you know, a run might got, like that touchdown run, that big run by Jacquez, it was blocked great. Now, the dude hugged.
Missed tackles, though.
The dude hugged. And they're not tackling the way they used to. They're not doing a lot of things that you don't see from Kirby Smart defenses. Even if the ones that weren't as good as those historic ones, they tackled well. They set the edge. They hit people in the mouth up front. And they don't do it on a consistent basis like they used to. But I thought, you know, Carson was fine. You know, I thought he got the groove, didn't do anything stupid to turn on the ball. I'm glad they got Etienne running the ball. I want to see some more of this young kid, man. I want to see some more of the young freshman.
And you talking about Frazier?
Yeah, I want to see some more of Frazier. Yeah. And then, you know, I think that once they get all that going, they still got to figure this thing out. They got another week before they go to Texas. Obviously, they got Mississippi State coming into town. That should be what it is. But they got to figure out some more stuff with this offense to make it evolve a little bit more.
Real quick, Kirby Smart addressed a little bit of the issues tackling. Says it's not just him and his boys.
So everybody makes a lot of big deal about the tackling, and you know, I went home from practice. I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday, and I was like, "Man, our tackling's bad. We didn't tackle good at Thursday practice." And I got home and I watched the Falcons and somebody, and I was like, "Man, the tackling is awful all over." I'm not saying the Falcons are, but I'm saying in the NFL, it's just bad tackling, and we have bad tackling. So it's indicative of, you know, the culture that the football, that people don't tackle, people don't hit, people don't practice like they used to, including us.
I don't care about that, Kirby.
Well, what would have changed over the past couple of years? Because I don't think we were sitting here last year or the last 2 years before that when they won championships and say, boy, they don't tackle very well.
No, they got people on the ground.
Yeah.
When you play
so
Georgia,
what changed? Because it's not just bad tackling.
I don't know what it is, but you know, when you play Georgia, you got when a guy tackled you, you went down, and it happened early. I'd tell you that. Bolden's a great young player. He's going to be a really good player for it. You got to wrap up, son. I know you can't be just running and diving at people's legs. You got to put your arms around this man and take him to the ground. So I think it's just a lot of, you know, whining about, you don't hit me more and all those different things. If you don't attack, you don't attack.
Felt like they figured it out the past couple of years. You know this year seems like it stands out. The other thing that was an issue last year and remains an issue is starting quicker.
And
I don't know if you were watching the game with volume on, but Kirby Smart talks to the sideline analyst, you know, 2 minutes before kickoff. And the question is, what do you want to see from your guys today? Start fast. Literally, it's the first thing you said. Start fast. What do they not do? They don't start fast. And it obviously beat you up against Alabama and found its way to a 28-point deficit. Look, you were 7-3 with like a minute before halftime in this game. And it's not like you were threatened. You didn't feel like you were going to lose.
You weren't threatened. But I thought.
But you can't go 7 points in the first half against Texas and feel good.
No, you can't.
You got to get going.
And I think that's going to be the
if there's a downfall.
The thing going forward with this team is if they can't score. I mean, not too many times you're going to come back and like they did against Alabama and all those different things. It's not going to happen. But I think that, you know, they got to figure out how to get this rhythm and get the identity of what they want to be. Now, I thought that the end of the second quarter game management was great.
Leading to that touchdown.
I thought it was great knowing that you get the ball coming out of the half and everything like that. And that was the one thing I was waiting on. And when they got the ball to start that drive, I was like, damn it, Kirby, don't sit on this. Let's go.
Right, let's go.
Because usually he might sit on it and everything like that. Like, no, let's stay aggressive. Let's stay in attack mode. And they did obviously get the ball in the second half, and everything was gone from there. Everything was gravy after that.
The other thing is this is an Auburn team that has turned the ball over quite a bit this season, and Georgia was not able to force them into any turnovers. And that's another thing that's going to help them.
What would Auburn's record be if they didn't have all those damn turnovers? I mean, they turned the ball over in bunches.
Yeah.
And then the quarterback, he played clean.
Yeah.
He played clean. That was the big thing coming into the game. Peyton Thorne had a nice, clean game for him. Again, they were able to run the ball because they were able to get on the edges. Dan Jackson should not lead this team in tackles. All right? He should not. Somebody else. That's why I said.
You want Chambliss up there in tackles?
The striking of this team is just not where it was.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
All right, that is it for Georgia for now. We're gonna circle back into the world of college football in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk about again. It was just such a crazy day. I feel like we still haven't talked about everything there is from the world of college football. We'll get more into Tennessee, Arkansas at 1 o'clock as well. But coming up next, we got to take a look at what happened in the NFL. As much questions as I have about college football and some of the coaching decisions, I got some questions in the NFL too. We got a no huddle coming for you, back to back no huddles on the way as we break down what happened in week 5 in the NFL. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker, Randy Mack on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.